So we're currently in a series titled, God's Word Is. God's Word Is. There's nothing more important. I've been saying this every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks. There's nothing more important that I could say as your pastor than to say this, that God's Word is all you need. God's Word is all you need. Part one, we looked at the Word of God, which reveals God. What is your view of God? Is he far away? Is he distant? Is he critical? Is he uncaring? Is he too busy? What is your view of God? Your answer will reveal what's below the surface in your life. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my daily life. And we search for God through his written word, the Word of God. Part two, we talked about God's Word is revelation. Revelation to show us something we didn't know or see before. You ever read the Bible and said, I didn't see that before? God illuminates that and shows you, like, ah, he reveals it to me. The Bible is revelation from God, of God, by God. What I do with God's revelation will either keep me in the dark or it will open my eyes. God's revelation unveils the truth so that I can know him. Part three, we looked at God's word is inspiration. Inspiration is the action of God through human authors who used their own vocabulary and their own writing style, but were guided by the Holy Spirit. I mentioned this last week. It's unthinkable that God would give us a book we couldn't trust. Our God speaks. He communicates. They are the very breath of God. God's word to us. If all of Scripture is inspired by God, then it's useful to teach us to know what is right, what is wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right, right? As your pastor, I'm asking that we as a congregation, we commit to three things. Commit to Sunday mornings. It's good to see you all here. Commit to a small group if possible, and commit to serving somewhere. Part four, last week we looked at God's word is the source. The source. God's word is the sword. It's the record of truth. Scripture is the word of God in that it's truthful. Truth isn't just a thing to learn. It's a person to believe in. Jesus not only declared to speak the truth, but to be the truth. Scripture is the word of God in it because it has authority. By the time that Jesus was born in the New Testament, the Old Testament was accepted in its entirety as the inspired and authoritative word of God. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, not to abolish them. Scripture is the word of God because it's effective. It's effective. God's word will produce the desired effect that God desires. When a seed is planted, God will honor his word. You see, the ultimate goal of Scripture is not simply to increase our head knowledge. That's important. We need to know the Scripture, but it's to change lives. This book is here to change lives. Sometimes I wonder how I don't see the obvious. Back in college, I was a part of North Central Bible College in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was on the men's volleyball club team. It wasn't an official sanctioned team, but we would travel to other schools and play volleyball, a wonderful sport. And this particular game was at home, and I went up to the net to block somebody hitting the ball, spiking the ball, and they hit the ball and they hit my finger at the same time. But the ball was in play still, so we're still back and forth, volleying back and forth, and I believe we got the point. But my hand, I felt it got jammed. You know, you ever had a jammed finger, or they say in Pittsburgh, you got stoved? Do we say that here? We don't say that. Stoved. I stoved my finger. I'm like, what? It's called jammed, right? Or sprained. And but the volleyball is still in play. And then as soon as we got the point, I looked down, right? And I felt the pain. I somehow failed to see the obvious. My finger. And at times in our lives, We wonder how we could have missed the obvious. We didn't pick up on the cues from a friend that is trying to protect us or to warn us of danger, and we just didn't see it. We're clueless about a so-called friend at school or work who has ulterior motives. We fail to spot the obvious issue maybe in our marriage. There's a lot of family tension, you know, at the last Christmas gathering, and somehow we didn't see it or we didn't feel it. Or we didn't realize just how bad our finances are. With the promotion we got at work, we failed to see the downside. And as we look at things in our lives, we can look back and wonder how we missed it so badly. You ever done that before? Be like, man, how did I see that? Am I alone? Anybody else? Well, when it comes to the Word of God, we can miss the obvious as well. And we need help from God to eliminate, to help us understand the truth found in Scripture. We need God to shine a light in His Word so we can understand, we can see the obvious. Just how do we understand the Bible's message and the Bible's meaning? How do we see the obvious from these pages? What are we failing to see and know in God's Word? One of Martin Luther's Reformation principles was that the Bible could be understood by the common person without the help of a priest or a pope. You see, biblical hermeneutics, it's a big word, it's the art and the science of interpretation. It tries to determine an accurate reading of what the text says. It seeks to understand and articulate clearly what the text means. You can't just say, well, this is what it means. You have to go to the source. You have to go to the Scripture, the Hebrew, the Greek, to know the exact meaning of what the author was saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the title of my message this morning, God's Word is Illumination. Illumination. You see, where God's Word is revelation, unveiling the truth, and God's Word is inspiration in communicating the truth, and God's Word is the source, the record of truth, God's Word is illumination, right? Understanding the truth. And when it comes to understanding God's Word, either we truly don't understand it or some of it, or we grasp most of it, or we don't want to comprehend it. And since we're human, we miss the obvious in God's Word, and sometimes we know the truth, but sometimes we don't always follow through. We don't know always what to do. Mark Twain once said this: "It's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me, it's the things I do understand." It's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. There's some things I read in the Bible and I'm like, I don't get that. No, it's the things I do understand that bother me, right? Sometimes we read God's Word and we really don't get it. It's not there. And the answer to that is to keep digging, keep studying, keep asking questions. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. It's also true that we won't know or understand everything about the mysteries found in the Bible. So take that pressure off that you have to know everything. Right? God will reveal what He wants to reveal to you. But it's the things we do understand in Scripture that we often struggle with. To love our neighbor, to seek justice, to reconcile a relationship, to speak the truth in love, to show grace to others. These, right? These are the things we do understand, but we find it difficult to live out in our lives. As I stand here with you because it's a struggle for me. God's Word is illumination. It helps us to understand the truth. How does God's Word help us understand? Well, first and foremost, it begins with God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said after He leaves in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he teaches us the truths we need to know, when we need them, and when we are ready to receive them. He will guide us into all truth, but we need to listen. We need to obey. You see, and that's what the psalmist was saying when he wrote in Psalm 119, a verse that we all would recognize. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see, this is not referring to some crystal ball where we can see the future. Only God knows the future. We only need to know where to set our feet today in the present, and that will be enough light for us to walk in. God's word illuminates our path through his written word. The apostle Peter echoed the same thought in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said this, "So we are even more confident of the message proclaimed by the prophets. You will do well to pay attention to it, because it is a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and in the light of the morning star shines in your hearts." You see, Peter here is confirming the authority and the truthfulness of the prophets in the Old Testament. Pay attention to God's word, because it will illuminate the dark in your life and in my life. You won't go through life stumbling around chasing after the wind. David wrote this song, and he sung it in Psalm 118 or Psalm 18. You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. I don't know what tune it was to, but he sang that to the Lord. This lamp speaks of God's grace in keeping David alive. During those dangerous years when King Saul was trying to kill him, King Saul, out of jealousy, wanted to kill young David. And this was his response. This was his song to the Lord. David recognized that God was and is a personal God, that he lights a lamp for David. God lights up David's darkness, his next step, his next move. And can I just pause this morning and say, God is a personal God to you. He sees you. He knows your situation. He knows your heart. He knows the struggles. He knows you. He's a personal God. He has lit a lamp, a light in your darkness. It's called the Word of God. Later, the psalmist asked God in Psalm 119, "Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all of my heart." You see, the psalmist was asking God to show them, illuminate the words of God, the decrees, and so that they would obey his instructions, the words of God. And our prayer should be that God teach us and give us understanding so that we may obey his word. Give me the energy, the strength, God, to do the right thing, where we put what we know into practice with all we've got, with all of our heart. God, you've asked me to forgive because I'm forgiven. Give me that power to do that. The scriptures reveal the Lord and his will, but we need illumination to discover what it means for our lives. And because God's word illuminates the truth, you can use it to guide your life to the right path, so you can stay on the right path. You can use it to guide your life to the right path and stay on it. In a world that's searching for meaning and searching for truth, it can be found in Jesus. It can be found in God's word. God will illuminate his word for you to understand. Not just pastors, not just priests, not just people that study the Bible. For you. That's why he gave us this book. He will shine a light for your path so you can see your next step. What's your next step? A few years back, some of us from church took a missions trip to the country of Belize in Central America. And what a beautiful, amazing country. And on our free day, we decided as a group to go cave tubing. Cave tubing is when you are tubing in a cave. So we hopped on our rafts. We had life jackets and we had a helmet with a light attached, and we, like a lazy river, we drifted downstream, all underground in a cave. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. If we were all to turn our headlights off, you know, it would be pitch black in this cave. But there was 20 of us or so, and so you would, it would light up pretty much. You could see the, you know, yeah. I mean, laying on my back on a tube that's about as high as the cave was, it was amazing. But we didn't have light to show the whole cave, right? We just had enough for that leg of the journey together, and we held on to each other's rafts. See, that's exactly what the Word of God does for your life. It gives you enough light for the next step. Why? Why doesn't God give you more of the path? You ever ask that? Probably because you would think to yourself, I've got this. And then you feel like, I don't need God to guide my next step anymore. I got this. See, the Word is a source of light to guide Christ's followers through life. The psalmist was determined to obey the Word of God so that he could live without stumbling around. Is the Word of God illuminating your path so you don't stumble? You see, in good times or tough times, God's Word is His gift to show you the way you should walk and the path to follow. Let me say that again. In good times, when everything's good, everything's right, everything's in sync, or the tough times when you feel, I don't know what to do, God's Word is His gift to show you the way you should walk and the path that you and I should follow. The Word of God will illuminate your steps. You know, I brought a flashlight. It's pretty bright, isn't it? If this room was darkened, I could see where I was going. I could see that there's a pew there and I wouldn't hit it on my knee. This will give me a path to follow. When you crack open the Bible, ask, what is the message the author is intending to convey? What's the Holy Spirit wanting to say? Some scripture is figurative. Some is literal. It's historical. It has poetry. It's a parable. It's a letter. There's all kinds of components to the scripture, right? And as you read the Bible, try to understand the history of its time. You see, there were cultural issues that may be very, very different today. But you must approach scripture as objective as you can. Everyone, right, we have biases when it comes to reading the Bible. And people today are so preoccupied with themselves, so they tend to isolate a single text to prove a point or a pet doctrine, but they must weigh it against all of scripture. You can't just pull this little verse out and say, this is what it means, and you got to weigh it through all the scripture. Context is everything. Some people use the Word of God to help them feel good. And when they attend a Bible study and a verse is read, everyone gives their opinions, you know, to figure out the meaning. You see, that can be very dangerous. There is only one meaning, the correct meaning, in that verse. Human opinions and experiences must be judged by the light of Scripture, not the other way around, right? We can't bring our biases and say, this is what it says. No, we have to say, this is what it says. I need to change. When Jesus comes again, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, we will live in the new city of Jerusalem. Revelation 21 says this, and the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city. And the Lamb, capital L, the Lamb, who's the Lamb? Jesus is its light. Revelation 22, verse 5, and there will be no night there. No need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. No more darkness, because the glory of God will illuminate the city, and the Lamb, Jesus, will be its light, and the Holy Spirit, the teacher, will guide you into all truth, like that flashlight that I shined. God's Word will help you not stumble, to hurt your leg, hurt yourself, But you must get into God's Word and let God's Word get into you. John Newton was born in 1725 to a devout Christian mother and a father who was a merchant ship captain. His mother died of tuberculosis when Newton was almost 7 years old, and by the age of 11, he was traveling with his father on sea voyages. And at 18, he was enlisted in the Royal Navy. Newton here had largely abandoned the religion of his childhood until March 10th, 1748, when he felt the first stirrings of a renewal of faith in God while steering a ship through a fierce storm. Seeing no conflict between his increasing faith and his employment, Newton continued working as a trader of enslaved persons and captained three voyages trafficking captive Africans to the West Indies between 1750 and 1754. And as his faith matured, Newton's remorse over his involvement in the slave trade surfaced and galvanized him. Quote, "It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders," unquote. Upon retirement, he began studying theology, and as a minister using his life experiences, he wrote the lyrics of the hymn that we sing, "Amazing Grace." He got it. He understood. In 1785, he met with William Wilberforce and counseled him to remain in politics rather than pursue a religious life. Newton would remain a spiritual mentor for the prominent abolitionists for the next 20 years. And in 1787, Newton helped Wilberforce found the Society for Effecting the Abolition of the Slave Trade, more commonly called the Anti-Slavery Society. Under Newton's influence, Wilberforce's purpose became working to end the slave trade, and his efforts, Wilberforce, as an English lawmaker, led to the release of over 800,000 slaves. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. God's word illuminated it in John Newton's heart. He was lost. He was blind, but God's amazing grace saved him. As I close this morning, God's word is illumination. And as we read the scripture, the Holy Spirit illuminates the word, the words on the page, so we can be found, so that we can see, right? You can trust this book. You can trust this book. You can trust God. Back to the story of the volleyball game. After we had won the point, I finally looked down at my jammed finger, and it was completely sideways. It was going this direction. But I didn't realize it because we were still playing. It hurt. I suddenly realized, you know, it dawned on me. I painfully understood that this is why my finger was hurting so badly. And so my brother and I walked across the street to the hospital. And the ER doctor gave me two shots on either side of my finger and just slowly popped it back into place. If you know me, I don't like that kind of stuff. That bothers me, needles and blood, and I can't handle that stuff. But I was brave that day. I finally understood the obvious, why I was in pain. And that's what the Word of God does. We were lost and spiritually blind, and God found us, and He gave us our sight so we can see. This morning, church, what's weighing on your heart at this moment? What's weighing you down right now? Peer pressure, loss, grief, discouragement, debt, pain, hurts, family, a prodigal child, broken relationship, sickness, fear, anxiety, bitterness, addiction, despair, failure, loneliness. What does God's word say about what you are experiencing? If you search for the answer, won't the Holy Spirit reveal it to you? What principle can you apply to your situation? What is God wanting to illuminate in your life? As you open the book, begin to look for what you're experiencing. You ask the Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to know right now. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, we take a moment this morning. Your word is alive, it's active, and reveals who you are. Your word is revelation, helping us to see what we didn't see before. Your word is inspiration and communicates truth to us. Your word is the source, a place to find the truth. And your word is illumination to help us understand the truth this morning. You can be trusted. Whatever we're facing, you have an answer for us. You desire that we know you. Give us a greater desire to know you by reading and studying your word. Holy Spirit, this morning we're asking that you guide us into all truth. What do you want to say to us? Where we are at. Illuminate the word of God to us. We don't have to pray and ask if the Bible, the word of God, is anointed. It's already anointed. It's our ears that need to be touched. It's our eyes that need to be touched. It's our mind and our heart. So God, we're asking, speak to us today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, the author, the reason this book was written, the Savior, the Messiah, the one that's coming back, the sinless Son of God who came to this earth to die on a cross and to rise again, to conquer death, hell, and the grave, to forgive us of our sins and to heal us of our diseases and to take on our sorrow. Jesus has paid the price. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about church attendance or membership. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you want to invite Jesus into your life, you may not understand all that that means, but you recognize that you're missing Jesus. You're lost. You're blind without Jesus. And this morning, as I pray, you want to invite Jesus, pray right where you're sitting in your heart. God will answer that prayer. God will come in and live inside you. I begin the journey of growing to be more like Jesus.